We get things underway this hour by welcoming to the program a gentleman who's a faculty member of the George Washington University School of Medicine, also the president of the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. He's a best-selling author of books like Dr. Neil Barnard's Program for Reversing Diabetes, The 21-Day Weight Loss Kickstart, and the brand-new book, Your Body in Balance, The New Science of Food, Hormones, and Health. We are pleased to be joined this afternoon by Dr. Neil Barnard. Dr. Barnard, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thank you. It's great to talk with you today.
So it really is a wonderful book and some eye-opening information here. And I guess starting right with the headline, which is what you eat can have a huge impact on your hormones.
Yes, and that in turn can affect so many aspects of our health. Sometimes people feel run down and tired and they don't know what it's about, or a young woman has terrible menstrual pain every single month. She doesn't know what this is about. And people never think that it could be that their hormones are not in balance. And more importantly, that all of that depends on what you eat. And I know it's a totally new idea that foods could control your thyroid hormone or your insulin or your sex hormones or whatever, but they can. And when they do, your health can change just dramatically.
Well, and I really like the way the book is organized, that you address some specific health problems and concerns. And let's start with this idea. Can you explain how your diet can affect fertility?
Yes, a bit of a surprising thing. Researchers, maybe starting with men, researchers went into fertility clinics and they looked at men's fertility, specifically their sperm count. And what they found is that those men who tended not to eat cheese tended to have real higher sperm counts. They did better. But men who really had a taste for macaroni and cheese or cheese pizza or whatever tended to have low sperm counts. And they thought maybe it's the estrogens in the cheese that came from the cow. So that was one issue. And then a related issue is it turns out that even just a man's ability to perform sexually is, I'm speaking of erectile dysfunction, is related to narrowed arteries. It's not related to performance anxiety or something like that. And that, in turn, is related to food. If a person eats a high cholesterol, high fat diet, one of the first signs of artery disease is erectile dysfunction. Now, speaking of for women, we see the same kinds of things where women who consume more dairy products tend to lose their fertility more rapidly. So who knew? We had no idea. And so many people are spending a fortune at fertility clinics trying to deal with this issue when the problem may be what they're eating.
One of the things I found fascinating as a certified middle-aged guy is how what you eat can also help reduce your risk of prostate cancer.
Oh, and that is so important because so many men get prostate cancer. And for some men, they don't get it until they're 85 years old, and it grows very slowly. For some, it arrives much earlier in life and can be much more aggressive. And there are certain parts of the diet that are protective. Tomatoes and watermelon, and anything that has that bright red color, that's lycopene, which is an antioxidant that substantially lowers the risk of prostate cancer. So that's a good thing. And unfortunately, dairy is again on the bad list here. Researchers at Harvard showed that men who tend to avoid dairy products have a much less risk of getting prostate cancer. Here again, there's kind of themes that recur where hormonal problems do seem to be more common in people who are consuming dairy.
For a lot of years, people have touted the benefits of omega-3 fatty acids, fish oils in particular, but in your research, you found that that can also contribute to prostate cancer.
Yes, and we don't know why. At first, the results didn't seem believable. You have a health-conscious person who's taking omega-3s or eating a whole lot of fish or whatever, and what you discover is that those men with higher omega-3 intake, they have a higher risk of prostate cancer. And at first, we thought it just had to be a mistake. And to this day, we don't know what the mechanism is by which it happens, but we see it consistently in research studies, so we have come to believe it.
And it's one thing to try to eat healthy foods to ward off disease, particularly cancer, but this is, to me, really eye-opening information that there's evidence out there that even after cancer starts, what you eat can determine whether or not that cancer advances or regresses.
This has been well documented, particularly with breast cancer in women and for men with prostate cancer. And the bottom line here, the big theme is eat your vegetables and fruits, whole grains and beans. Plant-based foods seem to really help. And the more you get away from the meats, dairy products, eggs, fried foods, fatty foods, the better off you're going to be. So the four groups that I really emphasize, the whole vegetable group, the fruit group, the bean group, and the whole grain group. So if you're going out for dinner tonight, go to an Italian restaurant, and instead of the meat sauce on your spaghetti, have the tomato sauce. Or if you're going to a sushi bar, instead of the fish sushi, have a cucumber roll and the miso soup or the sweet potato roll. Or at the Mexican restaurant, instead of the meat taco drowning in cheese, have the bean burrito, hold the cheese. So they're simple choices, but they add up into a huge benefit.
We're talking with Dr. Neil Barnard. The brand new book is Your Body and Balance. People have also talked about the benefits of olive oil, but as you point out, it may be better than some fats, but it's still a fat.
It's still a fat. It's definitely better than chicken fat or beef fat, that's for sure. And when I say better, I mean olive oil does not have so much saturated fat compared with, say, chicken fat or cream or something like that, or butter. Even so, if a person is trying to lose weight, they're better off keeping all fats, including olive oil, to a bare minimum.
And let's talk about women's health a little bit more. What foods are good for women hoping to reduce some of the effects of menopause?
There are all kinds of supplements, and many of them don't really seem to work very well. Black, cohosh, and others, it's really not clear that they help. However, the one that does seem to benefit women with hot flashes are what are called soy isoflavones, or soy proteins. And some women will just have soy-based foods, like tofu or soy milk or soy yogurt, those kinds of things. And some will pick up a tub of soy protein that they sell at the health food store. In either way, maybe 40 or 50% of women find that their hot flashes are perhaps not completely gone, but really dialed back, and you can give it a try. There's no risk to it.
We have a real epidemic in this country of diabetes, and a number of things that can help along the way. As you point out, avoid animal products, keep oils to a minimum, and favor low glycemic index foods. Can you explain for people who may not know what that means?
Yeah, you bet. This comes out of research that we did starting in 2003 for the U.S. government, where we tested different diets to see what was most effective. And the healthiest diet does have exactly those three characteristics. You avoid the animal products completely. So I'm going to turn you into a vegan. Keep oils very low. But the low glycemic index foods, these are just foods that don't perturb your blood sugar too much. So white bread could raise your blood sugar. Rye, not so much. Or pumpernickel, even less. If you're having, if you like sugary desserts, have fruit instead. Fruit has less effect on your blood sugar. So those are a few tips, but the most important thing is getting away from the meats and the cheeses and things that I grew up with and most of us grew up with, but that really do cause these problems.
And the book does not offer just advice for middle-aged folks and older folks, but even for the young people. And I love that you addressed one of the age-old rumors out there, urban legends, if you will, and that is chocolate. Does chocolate actually cause acne?
I think it actually does. Just as you said, you know, adolescents always suspected it. And there was a research study done in Philadelphia years ago that said, no, we really can't detect it. But we now think it was a flawed study, and that there have been a number of studies since that time that do suggest that it is an issue. And adding insult to injury, it may not be just the chocolate, but chocolate is often milk chocolate, and the milk may be a contributor as well.
And food, and I think people who are aware of what they eat, whether it's keeping some kind of a food journal or just thinking about what they put in their bodies, know this already. But what you eat can also have a profound impact on your mood.
We did a research study with GEICO, the car insurance company, years ago. And we only did it because their office is near my office, and we wanted to see if people's diabetes could improve or their weight could improve. But what we discovered is that we instituted a low-fat, healthy, vegan diet at work, and people liked it a lot, and they did really well, and they did lose weight. However, we noticed to our surprise that mood was improving. Specifically, depression was getting better, and anxiety was getting better. And in fact, job absenteeism fell. So we think that it's because the foods are improving the gut bacteria which I know it sounds funny, but if you have a healthy gut, people very often, it helps their mood as well. And it also seems, the diet also seems to reduce inflammation, which in turn helps the brain.
And if you're trying to make some positive lifestyle changes, and you talked about this a little early on, but there's a nice little, nature provides us with a nice little color guide out there.
It does. You know, your retina has the capacity to recognize antioxidants. I know that sounds funny to say, but you can be 200 yards away from the produce aisle at the grocery store. You can still see the beta carotene in those bright orange carrots and the lycopene in those bright red tomatoes and the anthocyanins that are in the grapes and the blueberries. Those are antioxidants. So if you eat for color, you're going to get healthy foods.
We talk about superfoods, and people throw that word around a lot, and I don't know that there are real superfoods, but would beans be a contender for that title?
They certainly would, because the humble bean, which our grandparents knew all about, but people nowadays kind of neglect them, not only are the cheapest thing in the store, but they have protein, they've got iron, they've got calcium, they have soluble fiber and insoluble fiber, and even a trace of omega-3 fats without any cholesterol or saturated fat.
I thought a very interesting chapter in your book, and a frightening one as well, as when you talk about the existence of environmental chemicals that can find their way into our foods.
And it's surprising. They're in so many things. One of the more peculiar research studies was done at Harvard, where they asked a group of volunteers to have some Progresso soup. And it was just a vegetable soup, but what they discovered was that the volunteers ended up having, in their urine tests, you could find a chemical called BPA or bisphenol A. Turned out it was in the lining of the can. And so the Progresso company, by the way, is aware of this, and they are presumably transitioning away from the use of BPA in the lining of the can. But you can go to the health food store now, and you will see cans that are BPA-free. And you might want to avoid it because it's linked to hormonal issues. It's what we call an endocrine disruptor. And different people disagree as to how dangerous it is, but it's already advised that kids stay away from it. But you go to the store, you buy a can that's BPA-free, and you take it to the cashier, and you hand the cashier your credit card, and you walk out with your credit card slip in hand and the can in the other hand. What you don't realize, as you're crumbling up that credit card receipt, it was printed on thermal paper that was BPA coated also, and it's now going through your skin into your body. So there are environmental exposures all the time that people may not be aware of. And so in Your Body in Balance, I not only talk about foods, but also how some of these environmental chemicals can get into the food.
One of the fringe benefits of keeping your body in balance is that a lot of physicians have found a number of patients who have had success simply by changing what they eat that allows them to avoid prescription drugs, the whole pharmaceutical industry, and stay off medications and let nature and healthy diet do the trick.
That's really true. And in this book, I'm touching on perhaps three particularly large areas, three or four. I'm going to start off with what I'm going to call the sex hormones, estrogen and testosterone. So for a woman who might have really bad menstrual cramps or endometriosis or PCOS, polycystic ovary syndrome, or a couple dealing with infertility or a woman dealing with hot flashes, that's where I want to get the sex hormones back into balance. Then we'll talk about thyroid disease. So if you're hypo or hyperthyroid and it's changing your energy level and making you not feel like yourself, we can get thyroid hormone working better with different food choices. We talked about diabetes already, and there's nothing more important than that. And then let's get your mood functioning so that you can feel well. And it's amazing when people realize, wait a minute, I can control my basic body chemistry based on food choices. It's not perfect, but it's pretty powerful.
Well, it's a wonderful book, Your Body in Balance, The New Science of Food, Hormones, and Health. Also, some great recipes and menus to help you plan some lifestyle changes from Lindsay S. Dixon. Dr. Neil Barnard, the author of this brand-new book, really is a wonderful read. Thank you for your work, and thank you so much for talking with us about it today.
Been great talking with you today. Thank you so much. And our website is PCRM.org. That stands for Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, PCRM.org.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Doctor.
Thank you.
That's Dr. Neil Barnard here on Downtown, Your Body in Balance, the new book.